Welcome to another episode of Digital Nerdage. This is Pat, and with me as always is Corey.
What up?
We kind of delayed this episode a couple times just because the huge announcement that happened last night, on February 20th, the announcement of the PlayStation 4. Sony officially came out, gave some of the specs, gave some of the games that are coming for it. So we kind of decided we'd wait for it and see what's happening, and then we'd get to our takes on all the things that are going on. So a lot of information they threw at us last night, 2.5 hour press conference. I couldn't watch the whole thing. The lag was absolutely ridiculous on Ustream, and I didn't think about going to watch it on my PlayStation.
It was a good replay of it, though.
Yeah, getting the replays. The only problem is it's non-controllable replays in my that I've found, but there might be some out there that I haven't seen. But anytime I try to go to the website where they originally did it, it's just on a continuous loop. So
just go to YouTube. It's up there.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours.
Wow.
I'll read the recaps. And there's plenty of them out there. Kotaku, everybody has a recap out there. So there's plenty of information out there, and there's even been a little bit more information that came out today about specific specs. So we'll get into some of that. We'll give our takes on all this stuff and, you know, let you know what we found out and what you might not know. So one of the biggest things is they said it 100 times. It's all about sharing on the system, from being able to instantly capture video, from the spectator mode, from being able to take over your buddy's controller from your home. There's tons of different things that they've done to interact, and right down to the fact of a share button right on the controller. So I think there's some interesting things there. I really like the spectator mode, and I think that's going to be pretty cool. And with, what are they called? The digital sports or gaming sports, or whatever. The spectating of gaming is becoming a little bit bigger and bigger. So
esports.
Thank you. You know what I meant.
I do agree. The spectator mode looks very nice. Looks like Sony is really trying to get on board with social media. I can't say I blame them. Like, they're taking a lot of flack about that so far. Their average response has been, oh, I don't care about social media. I don't want another Facebook. I don't want to have this or that or whatever. Well, the reality of it is this world is all about social media. 90% of the people that have the internet spend most of their time on Facebook arguing with people over the internet or looking at pictures of cats. I mean, that's what we do.
Aiken has cheeseburger?
I'm not going to say it's the best option, but it's what we do. And Sony is going to do what they have to connect to an audience that's going to relate.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like you said, from Facebook to Twitter to Google Plus to when you get into more professional type stuff, LinkedIn, Pinterest, not necessarily professional, but it's getting kind of used that way. MySpace is back again as a almost strictly music professional type thing. Social media is everywhere. Social things are all over the place. One of the criticisms I saw was somebody saying, well, I play games because I'm for anonymity. I don't want my real name out there on my profile, and I like my gamer tag and this and that. But what they're not taking into account is that only your friends that you specifically determine get that information. Otherwise, you are just a gamer tag or your PlayStation Network ID. You know, it's not like you're automatically going to be out there as whoever you are. It's going to be, well, I have these friends that I want to do as who I know personally, and then I'm going to have these friends that are just going to be my ID because I just game with them every now and then. So it's a terrible argument to have, but everyone has the rage factor inducing thing for all of this. So I think what they're doing is pretty awesome. I'm really, really excited to see how it's going to play out. As we all know, in 2006, the PlayStation 3 came out, and they had a ton of things that they announced that never came to fruition. Now, the ability to run two screens comes to mind right off the bat.
PlayStation 3 had one of the worst launches in history.
You're right.
Which, okay, to be fair, it actually wasn't that bad of a launch in comparison
to the Wii U.
Well, not even the Wii U. Look back in console game history. The PlayStation 2 launch was freaking terrible. The games were awful. PlayStation 2 didn't get a good game for like a year.
Well, yeah. Launches on new consoles are always... There's never really been a tremendously good, like, oh my god, everything must have type launch. And you'll never have it because just the development cycle is it's not there.
Well, and here's where I think Sony learned their lesson on this one, too. With the PlayStation 1, the PlayStation 2, and the PlayStation 3, all of them used what was at the time really experimental technology. The PlayStation 2 was the first one, in my opinion, to really take off as a disc-based system. Dreamcast, Sega CD, / Saturn, not counted. I mean, they were good systems, and the Dreamcast, we could have an entire podcast about, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was ahead of its time, and unfortunately, they lost a lot of the support. You can also thank Sony for that, because Sony bought up most of Sega's marketing team.
True.
But, you know, they really experimented with that. I can't thank Nintendo for that, because Nintendo screwed over Sony. Move on to the PlayStation 2. They used the Emotion chip. It was a custom chip they made to be able to put out a graphical input that system technically didn't have the power for. Between the PS2, the GameCube, and the Xbox, the PS2 was by far the weakest system, and in a lot of cases, still produced the best graphics. You move on to the PlayStation 3. Blu-ray was very experimental. They took a huge risk with that. Their pocketbook definitely helped. They were able to buy enough of the movie companies and get enough support with it that Blu-ray did win the HD war. But they took a big chance there, and they also learned the lesson to do not make it that expensive. A $600 system at launch was suicide.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's a hole that they ever truly recovered from. I think they, at the end of this console generation, realistically, Sony's finishing a hair behind Microsoft. But the fact that Microsoft was out a year ahead, it was a lot cheaper, and it had more third-party support from day one, it buried them.
Well, and Xbox, for the longest time, was always the exclusive title one. You know, you had the Halo, you had Gears of War, you had Mass Effect, you had Fable. You had those titles that were exclusive to Xbox. Sony didn't really have too many of those. You know, oh, Jak and Daxter. Oh, you know.
Back up. I disagree wholeheartedly here.
At launch?
Sony...
For the first couple of years?
Only until the PlayStation 3 was Sony not the one with the real exclusives.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, I should clarify. I am talking specifically on the PS3 right there. No. I mean, PS1 and PS2 had lots of great, amazing exclusives. I was talking specifically to the PS3 versus the 360 from a launching type standpoint. I mean, really, for the first couple of years, there wasn't a whole lot of exclusive PS3 titles. I mean, they remedied that. But, no, you're right. Absolutely. From the past, there was a tremendous amount of exclusive great titles. But, I mean, there's so many things that we can... There's so much with the system that they announced yesterday, and it's just absolutely amazing. One of the things that I like is that they're going with a PC architecture. You know, that was something they were very adamant about. Everything's kind of a PC architecture. It's you know, an x86, you know, processor. It's a Radeon based GPU. It's all these things, and it allows you to do different things. I love the fact that you'll be able to suspend and resume games. To me, that's, you know, yeah, you could always pause, but your system was always running. We all know how much power the PS3s took. But, I mean, now to be able to basically put your system to sleep and come back right where you were, I think it's a great addition.
I definitely agree with that, especially with a lot of the gamer market being, you know, 20s, 30s adults have kids. Like, you and I are great examples of that. We have toddlers in the house. Yeah. Sitting down and trying to play a game, like, sometimes you're just going to have to put the system to sleep, go do something, and then get a chance to come back later. Now, for that type of consumer, this is a huge step forward.
Oh, yeah. You know, while we're talking kind of about the specs, they did actually release the general specs for the system. It's going to be a single-chip custom processor x86-64 AMD Jaguar 8-core. The GPU is, like I said, an AMD Radeon-based graphics engine running at 1.84 teraflops. That's a lot of freaking processing power on that graphics card.
I would like to point out the one of the facts there that the CPU and GPU are done in one die. That's something that's typically done really only by Apple.
That I didn't realize. 8 gigs of GDDR5, built-in hard drive, 6-speed Blu-ray, USB 3, all the other things. One of the nice additions is digital optical outputs. I love that. Kind of a, you know, we're all kind of nerds about the way our systems are set up, and I like digital optical better over HDMI, even for sound. So, one of the great, you know, so I mean, there's a lot of different things. I did read another article that the ability to stream the stuff, how you're going to be able to stream some of the stuff, is it's going to be a secondary processor. There's going to be some kind of secondary processor going on in there as well. So, but I mean, they really went and made sure to hammer home the point of, you know, this is developed by, you know, for the creators, to make creation of games easier. You know, they listen to the feedback from their developers, and they listen to the public for what they needed. I think Sony was very attentive to the complaints. I think they addressed the complaints. And from just as something as simple as you'll be able to charge the controllers in standby mode, something you couldn't do on the PS3. So, I mean, there's so many things.
Well, they had to really be attentive in this. Like, I'm reminded and horrified of the PlayStation 3 launch. Like, one of the things that I remember was the CEO at the time saying in an interview, like, and I quote, "People will buy this because it has Sony in the title. It doesn't matter how much it costs." That is not an attitude to have, especially in this era of game. Like, you can't do that. I like the fact that they're looking at this and saying that, you know, this is for the developers. Because in that, that means that this is also for the gamers. We're going to be able to see the developers shine. What I've been reading about the development kit for it is that this is a much easier system to develop for than both the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 2 were. Being that I am not a developer, I don't know that for sure. So this is just what I've been reading on the interwebs. If that is wrong, I apologize. But I hope that's true. Sony was so good about getting indie games on there because they don't have the random bullshit that Microsoft does for indie games. That's one thing that Steam has a huge advantage. Look at like Steam's Greenlight program. Look at the fact that there's all kinds of indie games on Steam. That is 90% of my Steam library is indie games.
I was actually playing Faster Than Light just before we started recording.
Amazing.
That game is so good. I think the problem was is, yes, they're going with a custom processor, but they're going with a custom x86 processor. They're going with a processor that's been around forever. You know, they're not doing the Cell processor. They're not doing the Emotion chip. You know, those were great advances. But in all honesty, they weren't the greatest thing because they did make the consoles more difficult to develop for. You know, they chased people away. I'm amazed that Bungie is on board with Sony. That shocked me. To see Destiny on all systems, or both systems, I should say, I'm impressed. I expected Destiny to be an Xbox exclusive.
I didn't. Bungie was working with Sony originally. You got to remember, Halo was actually supposed to be an RTS on the PS2.
I did not know that.
When it was being originally developed, the team at the time, and I don't remember what their team was actually called before Microsoft bought them, they were developing the Halo games, which before it was called Halo, as an RTS to be on the PlayStation 2. When Microsoft decided they wanted to come into the market, they bought up that development team knowing that it was going to be a cheap buy. Named them Bungie, and they were able to basically mold the game into what they wanted. That's why Halo became an FPS. That's why it became what it became.
That's an interesting little tidbit of stuff that I had no idea about. you know, that's some of the stuff's just so weird out there. You know, you hear some of these stories; they're crazy. You know, but they threw so much information out there last night. Even if it didn't seem like it, there was just so many different things. One other thing that they're really getting into is streaming. You know, you'll be able to stream the games, you know, a la like you're doing with, like, World of Warcraft does now. You know, Warcraft, you download the initial files, and then you're able to start playing, and while you're playing, it's downloading the rest of the stuff that's kind of in the background, and maybe you'll have to hit a loading screen because you go in the wrong area or something, but but now you're going to be able to do that with through Gaikai. They're creating that technology for the PlayStation 4 to be able to do that, where you'll start downloading, and within the short amount of time, even if it's a 7 gigabyte game, you'll be able to start playing within the first couple of minutes, because it'll just download the rest of the game in the background. I mean, we all know that you can start playing a game in the first level, and the rest of the game could be downloaded while you're playing that first level. So that's an interesting thing. And then it's also the try before you buy ability, where, you know what, you start the game, you start playing it, hasn't finished downloading, screw this. This is terrible. There's a lot of different things that's going to give out there. So, but the interaction on everything is just crazy. Being able to drop the games down onto the PlayStation, or from the PlayStation 4 down onto the Vita. They're not saying that's going to be every game right off, but that's their goal, is to have that where you can just move every game you're playing right onto the Vita.
See, that's not crazy to me, because that's something that was promised to the PS3. You were supposed to be able to play PS3 stuff like that, remote play, onto the PSP, and that never happened. They had some remote play, but it was so limited and it was so bad.
Yeah, absolutely. The interaction with everything. You'll have a phone app. You'll have a tablet app. You'll have all these things. It's just that they're trying to integrate the PlayStation into every aspect of your life, is what I feel like. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm sure there's people out there that are screaming about it. That's terrible. You shouldn't. You don't need games all the time. Blah blah blah. You know, it's all in moderation. It's all in your own thing. So, I think there's just so many things that they're trying to do to make this just easy to show off, brag to your friends, get your friends involved. Maybe they're friends that don't play games. Now they can see you doing this, and maybe you get them into it.
Well, I have to ask how well Sony's actually going to pull off a lot of this, though. A lot of the online stuff that they're trying to do is stuff that Microsoft's been doing for a while. Now, we all know I'm not exactly a huge 360 supporter, but Microsoft's had the online right for a long time. Sony's been getting a lot better about that with how the PlayStation Network is. But how is the PlayStation Network going to work this time around? What jumps are they going to make for PlayStation Plus versus just the normal PlayStation Network? Are they still going to offer a free version of the PlayStation Network?
I hope so. I think that's part of their thing. Speaking of the PlayStation Network, this came out, and this very much pissed me off about it. This makes me angry, and they really need to change this before this console goes live. I'll butcher this name. Shuhei Yoshida, Sony's Worldwide Studios President, told Engadget that neither PSN nor PS3 game saves will be able to make the jump to the new console. So the things you've bought already on PlayStation Network will not transfer to the PlayStation 4. That is awful, in my opinion. If you're going to keep the PlayStation Network alive and you're going to keep that going, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to just carry those right over. I'm not saying they need to be there day one, but if you already have this game purchased, especially on the network, you should be able to just pull that right down without rebuying or anything like that. That will make me very angry if they stay on that. And that would be a killer, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of money invested in their library, digital library, on PlayStation, because they are going so heavy onto the digital day one stuff. So it's that would be terrible, in my opinion.
I do agree that would be terrible, and I would hate to see that. But I mean, that's how Nintendo did it at first. You can transfer your stuff from the Wii to the Wii U, but they, for a long time, made it impossible, even if you were replacing a Wii system, to get your stuff back.
Right, but then therein, Nintendo didn't have usernames, they didn't have accounts, it was just your system was your account. So, I mean, for that, I mean, I hated it, but I could understand it. But, I mean, when you're looking at something that you have an online server account, things like, especially PlayStation Plus people. I mean, I have PlayStation Plus. I love PlayStation Plus. You know, for the $50 a year, the stuff you're getting for free now is mind-boggling. I think I've gotten 7 full PS3 games this year for free and another half dozen network titles. So to do that would be bad. And they're also saying that the games won't always be right away, the back library won't be available right away, but they want to get everything into the cloud, the entire library, which I can't even fathom the number of games that would be onto the cloud in the PlayStation 4's life cycle. So
that's actually not going to be that hard. PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, they're going to be able to upload pretty quick. They're actually a lot smaller than you'd think. Oh. The PlayStation 3 games, however.
Yeah. 7, 10, 15. I've seen, I think one, I got 10, 15 gigs, excuse me. Crazy. I think the smallest PS3 game I've ever seen is 7 gigs. So, normal Blu-ray capacity. So, I mean, there's so many things out there. I keep saying that because I'm so stoked for this. It's what we expected. Everyone expected with this was what it was going to be, but I think they did an excellent job. And it's amazing that the excitement for this is like this, and they didn't even show you the system. They showed you the controller. They told you all these things about it. They didn't show you the box.
Yeah, a lot of people's asses are chafed over that. I don't think that's that big a deal, honestly.
Well, I don't either. Here's the thing about it. You look at it, you go, okay. They're massively promoting the fact that your phone is going to work with it, your Vita is going to work with it, your tablet's going to work with it. You're going to have these online, you know, abilities. You know, posting your stuff right up to Ustream. You know, getting your Facebook connectivity. They wanted to, you know, show you all these things to bring the box out. I think they would have detracted from that, because you would have looked at it and go, oh, there's my system. Oh, I don't worry about all this other crap. Now they made you concentrate on this stuff. I liked it. I thought it was a great move. I thought they made themselves highlight what they needed to highlight. So data overload. Just my brain is swimming in information.
I think the most interesting thing that I saw out of all of it was their online try before you buy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know.
With one of the biggest rumors being that you couldn't play used games, which they have already said that's not the case. But even without that being in there, the fact that they give you the option to demo the games is huge. That is a giant step forward for their digital media.
Without question. They'll end up making more money off of that they don't care about the used game. That will be their used game market. That will be their cut of the used game pie. Because you can't trade in digital games. Hell, maybe they do give you, you know, oh, we'll take it out of your library for, you know, $10 credit. I mean, there's absolutely room for them to be able to do that. Doesn't cost them anything, you know. Other, you know, well, no production costs. I should say there's obviously development costs, but no, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there's a lot of people out there bitching about some small things. I think mostly they're just trolls. I hate to say it, but
There's legitimate gripes, and I can understand that. Sony has a lot to prove. They botched this last launch terribly. And realistically, looking back, they botched the PlayStation 2 launch terribly. The PS2 ended up being a very good system. And the PS3 ultimately ended up being a very good system. Like, I have full faith in Sony that this is going to be an amazing system. I don't have full faith in their launch ability. I hope that they've learned their lesson. And that this launch is going to go very well. But we also haven't seen what Microsoft has to offer in this. There's a lot, like, there's everything that's still unknown about the new Xbox when that comes out. And that's really going to determine a lot of this. There's a lot of people that are very happy with their 360s now. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be very happy with the new Microsoft system when it comes out, depending to hear what they want to hear out of it.
Yeah, well, the rumor is next month for Xbox at this point, so that's always what I heard. Both were going to be in March, and then Sony, I think, moved theirs up to get away from Microsoft. So, and then of course June is E3, so that, you know, there'll be a lot. I'm sure there'll be much more information on both systems come E3. Personally, it's weird. I think both systems need to be out before the middle of October. I know why they want to aim for November, but to me, I think Nintendo proved it themselves, which is weird to say. November is not a good system launch month. They bombed systems, and a lot of that's because the Wii U's not necessarily great, but I think you need to have the system installed in the market before the major holiday rush, because then you can kill two birds. You can, you know, get them to buy the system in September and October and then come and buy three more games in November. I don't think you're going to get that same amount of sales if the system goes out in November. You'd be lucky to get them to buy one game. Just my personal opinion. You know, we've both worked in a game store. We both know, you know, kind of how those things work. I mean, you see some of it, but you don't see early adopters doing the Christmas with a brand new system and four games plus a controller and this and that, and, you know.
I can't see them launching earlier. They're going to want to go for the holiday rush.
I'm sure they will. I mean, like I said, that's just my opinion. I know they're going to take, you know, they're going to go for the first or second week of November. We know they are going to. I just, you know, I look at it from my point of view is, if I was buying Christmas presents, if I could spread that out and get the system 2 months earlier and then doing more games, I'd be happier. But, you know, as long as people plan, I guess the biggest thing is they need to have the definitive price points out by that September time, I think would be even more, because then people can plan.
Well, and it doesn't matter if you're happy. You're going to buy it anyway.
Shut up.
There's the reality of it, and that they know the reality of this. They can release this whenever the hell they want, and people are going to buy it.
It's very true.
That's true for the PlayStation, and that's true for whatever the new Xbox is called. Like, that's that's just going to happen. It was true with the PlayStation 3. It was true with the 360. The problem with the PlayStation 3 was they actually came out and said it, which is, you can't do that. But they know that people are going to buy the system. They know it's going to sell out for Christmas. They know the games are going to sell. Now, what's really going to determine their profit off this is their launch titles. There is a way that they can save their launch, and that's their digital media. The fact that this is moving into such a digital age, they have the largest opportunity in the world here to move units, have a decent amount of games out there, but have a large digital library available.
Yeah. But, and you're probably right. That will be the thing, is to have a, you know, sell PlayStation Network cards as opposed to actual games. So, yeah, I can see that. You know, we're speaking of games, it's they showed some pretty cool games last night. Actually, you know, before we talk about games, one of the demos from Havoc from the PlayStation 4 was absolutely mind-blowing for me. They took a million objects and dropped it onto a scenery with physics, with everything, with impact, with all those things happening. And they showed no slowdown. Now, granted, they may be overclocking. You never know what they're doing to demo it. But we all hate screen lag. We all hate when you get 20 things on screen and it starts slowing down. The fact that they literally took a million polygons and dropped them on the screen and let them bounce and let them do other was absolutely mind-blowing to me. If that can happen in real time and that can happen like they say it was happening in real time, the limits are, I don't think there are any.
I'm still curious to see what direction the games are going to go on this. The system's pretty impressive. I mean, for console. I can see where a lot of the PC gamers are getting upset about it because the technology they're putting in it isn't anything revolutionary. My computer is better than the PlayStation 4 is going to be in terms of specs.
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing that people have to look at is the simplicity of it and the price point of this. If this thing comes in at under $500, it's a good price on it. Yes, you can build a better computer for a little bit more. But you have to look at the average consumer. Your average consumer does not know how to build a computer. Your average consumer doesn't care about knowing how to build a computer. And while for, you know, us nerds, it's a big thing. Like, you're damn right I know how to build a computer. You're damn right I'm going to keep building good computers. But I'm not their target audience.
No.
I haven't been the target audience for a long time.
Consistently easy to develop for. It's always the same development. You always have the same development kit for a console. You always have the same things. PC's not that way. And that's what's difficult about it. So, I mean, you're right.
Not even just the development kit. It's the argument that a lot of people use for buying Apple products, like the iPhone. I think the iPhone's a great example of this. A good friend of mine uses this example quite often, actually. He buys pretty much the new iPhone every time it's out. But the big reason for that is he knows that, you know, that's the best iPhone that's on the market. Until a new iPhone comes out, that's it. When you look at any of the Android phones, there's a new best Android phone every month. And that can get frustrating. And that's how it is, like, when you look at consoles versus PCs. You know, I build a PC and it's outdated in 2 weeks. I buy a console, it's a current console. Like, if I buy it at launch, it's current for, you know, 5 to 7 years. Probably more.
Yeah. That's an excellent example. I'd never thought about it that way. That's, you know, to be able to do that, and heck, that's always kind of the opposite of Android for me, because I love Android better. But no, it really, truly is an amazing example. One of the... You know, I'm glancing over the notes again, and something came to mind. The fact that the DualShock 4 is basically going to have 3D depth perception through the light bar, it's kind of an interesting thing to add in there. I'm not sure if it's going to be great, but it's at least something to hit on and be, you know, kind of interested in and see how that's going to, you know, do with their Move gaming and things like that. So.
It's a pull for the gimmick tie-in. It's their ability to have Move-style games without having to release the Move again. Since the Move flopped terribly.
Well, because it was awful.
I'm not going to say it was awful. The Move was actually good. It just, they didn't support it.
True.
It was the same kind of thing with the Kinect. Like, the Kinect has so many cool features. Like, I think it's a very good, well-functioning system. But there's not much that's really good for it. Like, games that Microsoft says, oh, this is better with the Kinect. No, it's not. Your Kinect support is shitty.
I mean, there really are some cool things. And honestly, but you're right. The Kinect is, you know, a little off topic, but the Kinect it's there's so many things that could be done with it. There's so many. Its motion tracking is actually exceptionally good. The PlayStation Move didn't track quite as well, but it's still, you know, you're right, it tracked pretty well. I think the Move tracked 3D better, you know, forward and backwards better than the Kinect does. But I mean, motion game is just, it's not there. It's just, it's a gimmick. It's, you know, hey, let's do a fitness game. Yay. Fat, angry fanboys say, fuck you.
Oh, let's do a fitness game. Let's do a dance game. Let's do a sports game. Let's do sequels to those three games.
Although,
I mean, like, for the Kinect, the coolest features of that were the actual console integrations. I like the fact it's like, all right, I'm just going to wave my hand from my couch and control my system. I'm going to tell my system what to do. Like, those were the cool features of it. The game support for it was freaking awful.
Fable Journeys is pretty good.
I don't know if I can even go that far.
Pretty good. Not great. Pretty good. It's kind of a fun little... And it's a sit-down, sit-on-your-ass game, too, so... I mean, you're driving a horse, for crying out loud. But, you know, speaking of games, they did announce about 10 games last night at the... At the meeting, Knack looked interesting. Kind of I almost want to compare it. It's not a fair comparison, but Katamari comes to mind because it seems like you're able to use the environment to build your character up, not in the manner of Katamari, but. It's what jumped to mind because it seemed like you could take parts of the environment to build your guy up, make him bigger, you know, stronger, you know, or remove everything and become invisible and things like this. It's the only comparison I could make. I can't think of anything else that would remind me of it, other than the fact that he kind of, from a, you know, base standpoint, reminds me a little bit of Rayman.
I think the game that's stole the show for what they showed, Watch Dogs, hands down.
Oh, without question. That game stole the show at E3 this year, and it stole the show again last night. The game looks absolutely amazing.
The thing that really gets me, and a lot of people didn't catch it, that Kotaku actually did a good article talking about it, because they talked to the development team about it. You'll notice that in the demo video, there's a camera that's getting hacked. Well, the character that they're showing damn sure wasn't doing it. It was another player. It's talking about the hyperconnectivity. Like, that's how the multiplayer in that game works.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that whether you're playing single player or multiplayer, it's happening.
Oh, you know what? That didn't even click. And I saw that there was an article about it, but I didn't actually read it. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Like, okay, here's... Because the guy answers a question about it, then Kotaku asks him a question. Well, because we saw a real-time demo tonight, right? So what we saw was another player jumping into the game and affecting a certain part of the gameplay. The response? Yes, exactly. There's more detail on that to come.
Wow. And to be perfectly honest, you know, as I look at the screenshots, the literal graphics don't seem like a gigantic jump forward right now. Where I see the biggest change in the stuff that they're showing are the effects, the physics, the impacts, the things like that, the little things that make things seem more realistic. There is a smootherness, there is, you know, there is some more, you know, as Quantic Dream said, emotion on the faces and things like that. But to me, it doesn't seem like it's like a giant leap forward. It seems like two big steps.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Speaking of Quantic Dreams, though, I'm excited to see what they give us.
Oh, yes. When he got on stage, I'm just like, shh, nobody talk. because Heavy Rain, Indigo Prophecy were so good. Indigo Prophecy underrated big time.
I agree, and I really need to play Heavy Rain again.
Probably. It's been a while. You know, they announced a new Killzone Shadowfall, which Killzone's done great every time. I don't think they've ever put a bad one out. 3 wasn't the greatest, but I don't think it was bad.
I don't think they've really put out a very good Killzone either, to be honest.
Well, I guess that's... when I can see something that's consistent and they're never, like, garbage, like, that's my thing. If you can put out 3 different games that none of them were, like, oh my god, this is unplayable bull crap, never give me a game again. I don't know, that's my opinion. It's just, you're right, they've never been mind-blowingly good, but they've never been, oh my god, this thing's a steaming pile of shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, Killzone's not a bad game. It's really unfortunate it being their franchise shooter. But the big thing with Sony exclusives is they've never been about FPS. Like, that's where they got an advantage, in my opinion, in the exclusives for the PlayStation 3. They're just a more enveloping experience. Metal Gear Solid 4, Uncharted series, Infamous.
I was really hoping they were going to announce an Uncharted last night. But, you know, driving games, Gran Turismo. It was like, you know, it took them forever to get it out, but
Gran Turismo. But then it was shit compared to Forza.
True.
Like, Gran Turismo was just a giant disappointment, and that's really sad. Because the previous Gran Turismos were all so good. And then to go from how good they were to Gran Turismo 5 just being absolute crap, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Forza, that was just a sickening disappointment.
But this Drive Club from Evolution Studios, that looks really, really good. I just the prettiness of it. That was the one that actually I felt was a giant leap forward in graphics. Because, I mean, you could see the you know, brushed suede in the cars and the sheen of the leather and everything about them. Just, and it's a true first-person racer as opposed to, you know, cockpit view or, you know, the first person that are in a lot of racing games. I mean, it's literally, to me, it felt more real than any other racing game I've seen. And when I can actually fully immerse myself in it, I'm sure it'll be even more so. But, I mean, it just the looks of it were amazing. You know, drop in and drop out, you know, ability to do races is, you know, kind of a Burnout Paradise kind of feel where you can just drop into a game and, you know, do a race and things like that. So, I mean, there's so many things. New Infamous game with multiple people with powers.
We'll see how that plays out. I like the Infamous series. Like, I really like the first Infamous. Infamous 2 was okay.
Yeah, Infamous 2 was not nearly as good as the first one.
The gameplay was good. I enjoyed the gameplay a lot, but they really just kind of lost track of the story, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what really pushes the PlayStation exclusives, is their story. Like, I like their gameplay a lot because I'm not a huge FPS fan if it's not on my PC. And while I respected a lot of the Microsoft games, like, Gears of War was friggin' awesome.
But I enjoyed it's a third
some
person.
Of the Halo games. But, like, they're just not, they're not my cup of tea.
No, absolutely. In this one, I don't know if you saw this one, but I miss this one. I got so fed up with the thing I couldn't keep watching. The Witness, did you see anything about that one? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw the game. I don't really know much about it, though.
Yeah, I missed that one, too. Same with Deep Down, I missed that one as well. Which kind of bugged me, but I missed 2 games that I didn't even know got announced. Then, yeah, we already talked about Watch Dogs, Diablo 3 coming for the consoles.
Which people are all kinds of pissed off about.
I I don't even care. Who cares? The game was a big steaming shit on our faces anyway, so why get pissed that it's coming to consoles?
The reason it was a big steaming pile of shit on people's faces is because it was developed for consoles and then released on PC. Like, that's just how the game was made. That's why it's so limited. It was limited to be able to be put on consoles. And then they're just now finally following through with that.
It did crack me up when Diablo 3's director retired. Or not retired, but departed from the project. And the obviously the interwebs exploded. The boards went crazy, just saying so happy that they were gone. And then Rob Pardo comes in and like, yeah, you guys suck. He was good at what he did. Even though people are like, yeah, no, he wasn't. Shut up. So, yeah, it's weird. The fact that Diablo 3 was developed for consoles and ported to PC is a crime.
It is what it is. There's not much we can do about it now. I mean, I'm curious to see how it's going to be on console. I'd imagine it'll be fine, but...
Yeah. We talked about Destiny from Bungie. That was pretty much it that they announced last night.
Destiny looks fantastic, by the way.
I don't know. I'm not sold on it. It feels like a Halo ripoff to me.
Well, of course it is. It's Bungie.
I know, but it's
just... I'm just saying the game looks gorgeous.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, the looks, yes. But everyone's just, you know, panting for this game. And I'm just like, why? I don't think it's going to be that amazing. It's ugh. I don't know. I don't think it's that great. So, you know, as a whole, I'm excited for the PS4. I think it's going to be an amazing system. Even if they don't deliver on everything they announced last night, as long as they hit on some form of backwards compatibility, some form of, you know, making sure the PlayStation Network's good, you know, having some of the sharing, some of the spectator mode, you know, I think the biggest thing for their benefit, especially with the Vita, would be to make sure that we hit the remote play. I think remote play would sell a lot of Vita handhelds. I think they've missed the boat on the Vita a lot because a report came out that they could port any PS3 game to the Vita in like a week, and they never were doing that. So could have taken some of your greatest hits, ported them to the Vita, and made a boatload of money, because I'd have bought one for like Oblivion or something on a handheld. I'd had it in a heartbeat.
I mean, I bought my PSP way back in the day solely on the promise that we'd be able to get PS1 games on there. Then how many years later that finally happened?
Yeah.
Sony has made a lot of promises and broken a lot of promises over the years. I'm very much hoping that that isn't the case this time. But we'll see.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see how everything goes. But I think overall we're both excited for this. We're both Sony guys anyway. We love, man, I have a 362 and there are games that I enjoy on it, but I tend to buy PlayStation when it's both systems. So, for the sake of full disclosure, but you know what, there are a couple of little other stories I kind of want to hit on real quick. Got an email from Activision. They have announced the new Skylanders. As much as we may hate Activision.
Oh, goody.
Hey, you know what? It's a big part of the market. There's a lot of people that love that damn game. They're calling it Skylanders Swap Force. And apparently the characters will be able to swap the top and bottom halves of the toys to create their own characters. It sounds really weird. 16 different Swap Force characters into more than 250 unique combinations. It's going to be obviously, you know, all the old characters will still work. They're going to release some new 16 brand new, completely new Skylanders, 16 new versions of fan favorites, and 8 new light cores. For the people out there that like it, I've seen stuff, you know. I've thought about playing it. I'm not going to lie. It looks like kind of a fun little time kill game, in my opinion, but...
Meh.
Yeah, I know you'd meh that. News that will get you excited, that got me very excited. They announced a new Batman... Well, inadvertently, maybe we'll say it, announced a new Arkham game. They have not given the official title, but apparently there was an investor call for Warner Brothers, and the chief financial officer, John Martin, actually did, let's see, his quote was, "We also have strong game releases this year, which will include the next release of the Batman Arkham franchise." So they're talking up to their investors to make sure that their investors know that it's going to be a banner year for their profits. So I don't know how they could miss with an Arkham game, because honestly these first two have been just two of the best games I've played this generation. So
hopefully this one's just as good.
Corey's got a lot to say on these.
Fine, you got the news stories. I don't even know what you're saying until you say it.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you'd open the Google Docs, man, jeez.
Meh.
No one's quite sure if this is official or not, but Iron Man 3 Hall of Armor. A picture got posted out there, and it's showing, just in the picture I see 20 different suits of armor, 21. And, I mean, just tons of different stuff. From one looks like it's based off the Destroyer from Thor. I mean, there's a ton of different suits. The Hulk Crusher's not in there, though, so everyone's sad face. But to me, I don't understand how they can do the Hall of Armor. It's just, unless they're jumping Iron Man 3 considerably into the future, I feel like having the entire Hall of Armor would be weird, because he's only really created like 8 suits come Iron Man 3.
You don't know that.
Okay, they've only shown that he's created 8 suits come Iron Man 3.
There you
go. Yeah, I guess that is the better way to put it. You know, and they haven't really addressed it. They don't, you know, they're not going to address it. So it comes out, I think, in May, if I remember correctly. Yeah, or is that Thor? I can't remember. There's so much coming out. I don't remember which one comes out first anymore. anybody out there that may be a Glee fan, and for more so people that are Jonathan Colton fans, Joko, he got ripped off on Glee. I think Corey, you saw this story first and brought it to my attention. I just started laughing about it.
Yeah, I'll go into that in just a second.
Okay.
The wifey just got home. Hold on.
Okay. The advantages of recording live, folks. But I will, while Corey's gone, I'll jump on another quick hit we've got. Image Comics it sent out a teaser of a cover for a book called Dreams Have Meaning. They didn't really go into too much depth onto what it's going to be, at least not how I read it. But it's going to be written by Nathan Edmondson, who was on DC's new 52 title Grifter for 8 of its 9 issues, so it wasn't a long-lived title. But he's also worked on 5 different projects for Image since 2009. And the art is going to be done by Konstantin Novosadov. Sorry, I'm doing real good with names tonight. I did some digging, I did some Googling, I can't find anything for this guy. So it seems like he's new. He does. There is a Tumblr out there, dreamshavemeaning.tumblr.com, and the art on it looks really cool. It's kind of a dark, cartoony look to it in the way I look at it. But it's really, really colorful, really cool looking. So I'm interested to see how that's gonna be. The Tumblr, they're actually gonna release new will reveal more of the new book from Image Comics with each submission of a dream to the Tumblr. So if you have a dream that you think would be pretty cool for them to see, and you'd like to see more about this book, dreamshavemeaning@gmail.com. So that's going to be something that you can see. Like I said, it looks pretty cool. It looks like something that's really interesting that may or may not pan out to be a good, well-written, well anything. So, but I'm definitely willing to give that a shot. So, and I apparently, since Corey's not talking, he's not back yet.
I'm kind of back. Hold on.
Yeah, so Corey has been kind enough to join us again.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries. It happens. We're recording at 10 o'clock at night, so, you know, shit happens.
I had a friend that just had a baby, so Tara's must scramble to get over there.
Must get gone. Must see baby. We all know how women can be about babies. But no, I mean, the Joko thing was pretty funny. They basically used his remix of the song, so
alright, so whole thing behind that. Glee's been stealing music for a long time. It's just what they do. Nobody cares. It's just the way of the show. Joko made a big stink about this. Apparently Fox never contacted him about it, and it'd be one thing if they just used a, like, in his styling, or if they did it, you know, similar to what he did, the way he covered, because it was Sir Rick Slott's Baby Got Back. They literally just stole his entire track and replaced the vocal track. Right down to the fact that, like, there's one part in the track where you can hear a duck quack in the background. That's still in there. It's literally the same instrumental track. They used his lyrics. In the original song, it's, you know, it was, I don't remember the lyric, it was like Mix-a-Lot's in Trouble. Well, Joko made for his, you know, Johnny C's in Trouble. In Glee's version, they used the lyric, Johnny C's in Trouble. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Hey, you know, it's who they are. You know, Glee's gonna do what they want because they're a huge show, so.
It's not even just Glee. It's more Fox. Like, and they can get away with right. Whatever they want.
Well, and they basically said, you know, you redid a, you know, this is an already done song anyway, so you don't have rights to it either. But, you know, there's Creative Commons laws that say if you've changed a song up to, you know, at least X amount, then it becomes your version of it and it's yours. I mean, they literally used his music bed.
Jamie is wearing an Adventure Time onesie. I just need to stop and say that right now.
Your roommate is wearing an Adventure Time onesie. That's
yeah,
amazing. Pictures or it didn't happen.
Working on that right now. Hold on.
I will post that on the Facebook, the Twitter. I will post that everywhere. No one said funny things didn't happen.
Texting it to you now.
Nice. But you know what? I think we've thrown a lot at you. I think we've had a lot of fun tonight. You know, PlayStation 4 is on the horizon. Lots of cool different things going on. We're going to be having some guests, so we'll probably actually have a pretty quick one. Corey doesn't quite know this yet, but we will be having, for our next episode, Rob, who has joined us before. He will be back to talk about his comic, Punching the Clock, his webcomic, Punching the Clock, I should say, which is coming up on its 100th strip in just a couple weeks. So we're going to have him on to talk about that, talk about webcomics in general a little bit probably. And we'll be looking at some stuff. I've got quite a few different guests that I'm working with over the next couple months. So most of them are local because I'm going to do we're trying to do kind of a march up to C3, which happens at the end of May. So that's looking forward to that, which we'll be at broadcasting live. So lots of cool different things coming up here pretty quickly. So, you know, until next time, you know, thanks for listening. And I don't know. One of these days I'll come up with a good sign off.
Pat sucks.